Hey, I'm Vermont Edition producer Daniela Fierro. The podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. Whether you're someone who is glued to local news or someone who just casually chats with your neighbors around your town, you know about the massive housing shortage here. It seems every state and local leader agrees that Vermont urgently needs to build more housing units. And yet, the problem persists. Some local agencies and leaders are attempting to tackle this problem head-on, including Rutland City. Leaders there are courting developers to showcase promising sites for new development. Recent statewide zoning changes could affect communities like Rutland as soon as this year by dividing the state into tiers for development. Joining us today is Rutland City's Mayor Mike Dungis. He was elected last year and previously served as a Rutland alderman. Mayor Mike Dungis, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. And we are also joined today by Ed Bove. He's the executive director of the Rutland Redevelopment Authority. Before that, he spent nearly a decade at the Rutland County Community Development Organization. Ed, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So I'd love to start this conversation with the news of a new report that came out recently from the Vermont Housing Finance Agency. Their latest housing needs assessment says the state needs to build between 24,000 and 36,000 housing units over just the next 5 years to meet demand. Mayor, did that number surprise you?
Honestly, a little bit, but not so much. We're constantly seeing the demands for housing here, both anecdotally and in the data in Rutland. You know, we have executives that have moved to the area recently to run, say, our local credit union. And instead of being able to buy a home within the city, they've had to rent an apartment, 45 minutes away. And part of that is just due to this real, missing availability in housing in our community. Mm. Last year, we did a study with the Vermont Housing Finance Agency as well, and they said that the county is going to need 9,000 units and the city is going to need 2,500 in that same five-year period. So we're kind of aware of these challenges just from what we're seeing every day.
Mm. 2,500 more housing units in Rutland City in about the next 5 years. Ed, do you think that's doable?
I think we can get close. We have the space. We have the willingness of the city to try to encourage this. And with some of the offerings in Act 181 that you mentioned earlier and some of the things we're doing at the local level, I think we can entice the production of more housing units, including the developer showcase that you mentioned a few minutes ago, of bringing in some new players to help meet the demand, not just what we have here at the local level, but to try to bring in some mid to large scale developers to take advantage of the land we do have in the city for the housing.
Mm. Now, for somebody who does not work in this area of community development or construction, it can be confusing to figure out, to untangle who exactly is in charge of encouraging and then actually completing these development projects. There's lots of different private and governmental agencies involved. Ed, first, could you tell us a little bit about what the Rutland Redevelopment Authority does and kind of how it fits into this broader regional landscape of organizations?
Sure. The RRA, Rutland Redevelopment Authority, we actually operate under a contract with the city, and we've historically served as the economic development arm of the city. And our job is to do one of the things you just mentioned, was to bring all the players and put together the puzzle pieces of what we need to produce more economic development. In this case, housing is a piece of that economic development puzzle. And the RRA, our work is, we try to look at bigger policy issues, like creating a Tier 1A exemption from Act 250 permitting, all the way to helping with the city, the mayor and DPW's office to tackle some of the low-hanging fruit, like reducing the water and sewer fees that we just lowered here for housing development. So it's really the RRA's job to work with developers, property owners, potential developers, to put these pieces together and then showcase what Rutland can offer through incentives, through funding, and through the property and infrastructure that we have here, which is Rutland's greatest asset, is we have the capacity in a lot of our infrastructure to support more development. Hmm.
And you mentioned the Act 250 tiers, Tier 1A, I believe it was. We'll dive deeper into Act 250 reforms a little bit later in this hour. Ed, one more question about the RRA before we move on. This might be semantics, but I've always wondered why it is the Rutland Redevelopment Authority. Is there an emphasis on redeveloping older properties or restoring Rutland to a vision of what it once was? Or am I reading too deep into the name?
No, I think that's part of it. You know, Rutland has a lot of underutilized properties right now that can be redeveloped, reusing existing infrastructure. So that is a huge part of it, especially in downtown, where we had units, upper floor downtown buildings that used to be housing are now vacant, which we're trying to redevelop into housing again. So it actually fits in that case. But at the same time, new is also part of the game. And so we will try to combine redevelopment with just purely development projects.
Hmm. Well, I want to get a bit of a deeper sense of the demand for housing in Rutland and the surrounding area. I mean, across the state, Vermont's population has grown since the pandemic, in large part due to in-migration, people from other states coming here. Mayor Dudges, do you know how much Rutland's population has changed over the years?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's something that was very paramount to how I started working on a vision and a set of goals for the city. In the 80s, actually, was about the peak time for Rutland's population. Depending on what data source you use, we had between 20 and 22,000 people living within the city limits. Today, or actually, let's go back a little bit. A few years ago, at the last census, that number was 14,400 people, and that's a drastic drop. And part of the challenge with that, and you're going to say, well, if you have less people, how do you have not enough housing? And we'll talk about that in a second.
How'd you know?
Well, part of the challenge with that population drop has been, you know, the burden that places on everybody else's shoulders. So for me, I'm generating some demand. We want to grow the population of Rutland. And in order to do that, we need housing to do that. So there's
that piece. When you say burden, you mean like tax burden, financial burden?
Yeah, tax burden, financial burden, resource burden, right? If there's less people here, that means there's less need for things. And we're right out kind of on a point where we need to decide to shrink, or we need to decide to grow. And I think we need to grow. You know, that's the mission. Like Ed was saying, you know, our city is built for 30,000 people, and we're running it with 15,000. Well, what is now closer to 16,500 people in the last few years, we've seen that growth. I think the demand on the housing, though, you know, we know of 240 offline units. Those are units that people used to have a family of four in. We also know that there's a large population in Rutland and a large aging population where there are four or five people living in a household, and now there's only two. And what we're seeing is something that we call a housing logjam, right? Where we know we need to generate housing of all types in our city to kind of loosen up and let things flow and allow someone who maybe is living in a four-bedroom home that would love a two-bedroom apartment without the lawn care maintenance and without having to shovel the snow, give them an opportunity to migrate to an apartment or buy a condo. And those opportunities don't exist right now just because there's so few houses on the market. Mm.
Well, let's go to the phones. And listeners, if you have a question or you live in the Rutland area and want to comment about these plans to develop Rutland City, give us a call at 800-639-2211. We'll start with Heather in Starksboro. Heather, you're on the air. Go ahead.
So I just, rather than ruining more farmland by building these horrible houses that look like cookie cutter things, maybe use the existing buildings. And in Burlington and South Burlington, you have like the Christmas tree shop plaza that could be totally converted into housing, and they have a housing shortage as well. And if you want people to move out of their four-bedroom homes, maybe make it affordable for elder care, because then we go back into healthcare pieces that have a huge piece to do with the elders in that piece. And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Heather. I appreciate that. And Heather's comment reminds me of an email that we got from Jan in Williston, who writes, I've seen a number of houses as I drive around the area that are obviously not being lived in, looking run down, grass 3 feet high. Why couldn't these houses be taken over by the town and rehabbed, then sold and lived in? It seems so wasteful for them to just sit there and decay. So let's talk about this possibility of rehabbing older homes, specifically in Rutland City. That's where we're focusing on today, rather than, say, developing a natural area, something that our caller Heather is concerned about. Ed Bove, let's start with you.
I think in general, we try to let the market operate when it can. And in Rutland, we've had some success with newer property owners coming in and rehabbing some of our housing stock, which is amongst the oldest in the state here in Rutland. So we have had success with the market turning some of those other over. There are opportunities, however, where the market's not functioning for some of these properties, that usually they might not be right in downtown. They're still within walking distance of downtown. They're in the first ring of suburbs that we have been looking at as potential, exactly what was mentioned a couple seconds ago, potentially having some government within the city, whether it be RA or the city, to look into some of these properties. Because the city's advantage for redeveloping are twofold. One, we can get lower rates on capital if we were to choose to do that. And we also have a longer payback period. So unlike a private investor looking to take on a property, the city has some built-in advantages, again, with financing and return rates, that it does or might make sense in some occasions for us to do that with some of these properties. So that's something we're definitely looking into as contributing to meeting our housing goals.
Mayor Dudges, any additional thoughts there on redeveloping older homes in Rutland?
Yeah, I think it's as Ed pointed out, we have some of the oldest housing stock in the state. So, you know, tear down and a rebuild is far more expensive than a renovation for many reasons: cost of materials, you know, general labor that's available to do those things, and it takes extra time to do. The redevelopment piece has worked really well. We've taken, you know, I think the caller's comment or the letter, I don't remember which it was, talks about reusing spaces that may have had a different purpose. And we have one landlord in town, and they started, you know, they've owned a lot of office buildings in our city. And they actually took one of those and above a storefront converted it to 10 apartments. And it's been wildly successful. I think all of them were leased up within the first 60 days. And as that continues to prove to be beneficial to developers, we want to be able to take those spaces and turn them into something usable. You know, we see a lot more remote work from home. We see a lot more of these office spaces emptied out. We'd love to see those turned into residential living. And we've actually put some incentives in place just to do that within the city.
Well, let's take another caller here who I think has a question right along this topic. Jim in Castleton is on the air. Jim, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess my question is there enough pressure on property to produce? I was at the mall this weekend, and you know, it's shocking that a property of that scale and that amazing location could just sit idle for so long without the owners just freaking out and building something. Why is there so little pressure?
Sorry, Jim, are you referring to Diamond Run Mall?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Mayor Dungis, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll start by saying, although the Diamond Run Mall is in the town and not in the city, it is something that we have been actively in discussions with its property owner. But one thing that Rutland, as well as almost every other probably municipality of our size or bigger throughout the country, probably deals with is something called patient capital. And patient capital are those individuals that have purchased a property and they don't necessarily have a plan for it right now, but they're willing to wait till the right thing comes along, or willing to wait till it's the right time to invest in that property. And those are some of the things that we're targeting is getting it communicated that now is the right time to invest to revitalize those properties and bring them online. You invest now, it'll cost you less and you'll have a longer term benefit and return on that investment. So we're trying to find ways to do that outside of ordinances and slapping people on the wrist. But there are things that we have in committee at the moment to talk about blighted property ordinances and vacant property ordinances to make sure that what's fair is fair. As owners invest in their properties, their taxes go up because their values go up. But these owners that don't invest in their properties that are sitting empty, they need to understand that that has an effect on our local economy and it has an impact as well.
Ed, how expensive exactly is it to build new houses right now compared to like just a couple years ago during the pandemic when we were seeing these major log jams with the supply chain? Has it gotten any easier, any cheaper?
I don't think it's gotten any cheaper. I think it might have leveled off a little bit from what we're hearing in the last 8 months or so, but it's usually a couple hundred thousand dollars to produce a new unit. That's what we're seeing between some of the private developers that don't need any public subsidy, maybe on the lower end, but then some of the subsidized housing through the housing trust are running still $400,000-ish per unit. So while I think materials might have leveled off a little bit, it's still expensive and it's still really the underlying reason, I think, to answer Jim's question from last time is why the market's not producing those units. Mm. I will say, though, that with some of the local funding resources and incentives and some of the opportunities through Act 181, I think those costs, while still high, I think we're at a point now where there's enough incentives out there to maybe make the market make that work now, but it's still very tight.
And what are some of the specific incentives that are currently being offered to developers in Rutland City?
So as Mayor Mike mentioned a few moments ago, we just lowered some of the water and sewer rates and fees for housing development, which is pretty substantial. We have the ability to offer tax exemptions, tax stabilization for both commercial and residential development. We have some low rate RLF programs that are specifically designed for housing to get some property owners and developer access to low interest capital. So those are some of the local things we see. And then hopefully through Act 81 at the local level, we'll be able to again offer the Act 250 permitting exemption, which would be a huge bonus to areas that, you know, are already built up. And then this Act 81 also provides the statewide and municipal tax freeze for 3 years, which is another thing that funnels through the municipality that we can offer for developers. So I think some of those things, even to go along with some micro grants that are offered for facade improvements for buildings that might have residential units, all those things are adding up, I think we're seeing, to which is spurring more development that we're starting to see at the local level.
Hmm. Well, this past spring, the Vermont Housing Finance Agency assigned about $50 million in federal housing tax credits to support construction of these so-called perpetually affordable apartment buildings in 5 different communities across the state. And one of those apartment projects is in Rutland. Mayor Jundisch, I'm wondering if you could give us a little bit of a progress update on that project.
Sure. You know, there's additional federal funding that we were waiting for on that project, as well as some local, and it's kind of kicked off. The governor came down to speak about that project and funds that were available, not just through the loan side, but through the grant side for the Rutland Housing Trust as well. So that's moving along. And as everybody probably knows, things in government don't move nearly as fast as we'd like, but it is on the right track. And we should see those units begin to get renovated later this fall, if not this winter, since most of the work's going to be indoors anyway. Mm.
And 6 of those units, as I understand it, are going to be reserved for people who experience chronic homelessness.
Yes. Is that right? So, yeah. And in Rutland, not to completely go off topic, but in Rutland, we have a very large population of unhoused right now. So any of those units that we can bring online for the homelessness piece, it works really well. I think one of the things to make mention of is we've seen programs already that had that focus, like VHIP, bode well for our community. So to have an additional 6 units is going to be good for that population.
Mm. And while we're on this topic, Mayor, there are going to be more households exiting the state's emergency motel housing program in just a few days, I believe. That's a result of the legislature putting new caps on that housing program to try to reduce costs now that federal funding isn't the primary funder of the program. Do you have a sense of how those changes are going to affect Rutland City and maybe increase the already existing pressure on the affordable housing market?
Yeah, some of the demand has been satiated by the voucher program and by people being able to stay in hotels. I was just talking to the executive director of our housing authority over the weekend. We were talking at the farmers market. And again, this is not a localized issue. This is a nationwide issue. We've even seen vouchers for housing, not the general assistance program, but vouchers for housing be reshuffled throughout the country because the demand is everywhere and it's no different here. Mm-hmm. I think what we'll find is that pressure has existed for the last 4 years. It's only going to, the pressure is only going to heat up and get more firm on the agencies that are here to try to support it. And we're doing our best to prepare in as many ways as possible. We've even applied for some of that state emergency housing funding that was available this summer and looking into getting a transitional housing campus up and running, which would give people the opportunity to come out of, say, the voucher-based program into a transitional campus while they're waiting for and applying for either a voucher or a position where they can afford their own apartment. So we're trying to bridge the gap as best as possible in our community. But again, these things are taking far too long for the urgency and the demand that's coming right now.
Mm. Well, we just got an email from a listener named Joyce, and I'd love for both of our guests to respond to the sentiment. Joyce from Wolcott writes, "I would not like to see any more development in Lamoille County. I live in the town next to Morrisville and have been horrified by the incredible amount of unattractive housing developments that have changed the character of Morrisville. It seems they went up very quickly, while many, if not most, residents in Morrisville were against this development." And Joyce also draws a connection between the increase in housing developments and an increase in crime. I don't have any statistics on that. That's what Joyce writes to us. Ed Bove first. I'm curious what you say to folks. I'm guessing this is a sentiment that you hear as well in Rutland and in Rutland County more broadly. What do you say to a listener like Joyce?
Well, it's interesting because I'm curious as to what type of housing is being referred to. Is it a new housing development on a green field outside of town, or is it infill housing development in an urban core? I think I found there's a big distinction between those two types of development, where the former gets looked upon not as favorably as something in town, like I say, in the urban footprint that we have in Rutland.
Just briefly, I do believe that Joyce is referring to a group of about 24 new affordable low-income housing developments.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all dependent on how they're integrated into the urban fabric of the community. In Rutland, we don't have a lot of land on the outskirts of town to sprawl into. A lot of the redevelopment we're focusing on is more of an infill type development where some of the pressures of sticking out aren't quite as there, or something is jarring as what you might see where there is no development before. So I think we have the benefit of that. We also have design review in Rutland for some of our critical areas of development in downtown along the gateways. So we do have the ability to mitigate some of the looks of some of these developments when those come through. But I think in general, in Rutland, there's been such an emphasis on creating new units, and with the type of land and properties we have available, we're seeing more of support for development rather than angst for new projects coming in.
I'm also curious about Joyce's concern about the look of housing developments and whether or not community members get to weigh in on that. Ed, is that ever an option?
Well, it is here because, again, you know, if there is something in design review or at the development review board, those are public meetings. And those are places where the public can come in and express their support or not support for a project. So there is that availability. We've been fortunate in Rutland that we've been working with some of the developers ahead of time, and they've been working with city staff so that we can guide them in a way that when they do submit some type of permit application, that it already is, I suppose, fitting into some of the community's goals, which are outlined in the municipal plan.
And Mayor Dungis, I'm curious to hear your thoughts too. For I'm guessing that you've heard concerns like the one our listener has brought up. What do you say to folks in Rutland City who have concerns about your development?
Yeah, I think Rutland has a slightly different attitude as a whole right now. There's plenty of feedback on all sides of every conversation for sure, but when it comes to housing development, when it comes to building new housing and doing new development within our city, people are on board, and actually not just people within the community, but we've been talking to representatives from Rutland Town and their select board, and they're supportive as well. And Rutland Town, for those who don't know, is essentially the land that surrounds on all sides the city of Rutland, and it's great to have their support. To Ed's point, some of that sprawl could potentially happen in other communities, say West Rutland or Rutland Town, but within the city, people have been looking at empty lots for a period of time, and for them to see an artist rendering of an old building that's been torn down and rebuilt, or an artist rendering of that lot full with first floor retail and four stories or five stories of residential, that's not unattractive, because what is there now is what's unattractive. So for people to think about that development, they for the most part look at it in a positive light.
Well, we're focusing primarily on housing in this discussion, but there are, as we've mentioned, some other major development projects going on in Rutland right now outside of the housing sphere. My colleague Nina Keck recently reported on the Paramount Theater, which is undergoing this big $6 million expansion. And the head of the Paramount told her that he's also really hoping to see a 99-room hotel and an apartment building go up across the street. This has been in the works for a while. It's the site of the former Berwick Hotel, and it would need a lot of work to clean up the site before building could begin. Mayor, could you provide an update on that project?
Sure. We meet biweekly with the hotel developers and our local economic development corporation. Ed, who's on with us today, is there as well. And we're constantly talking about how to keep this project moving forward. Everything from the basic municipal responsibility to how to get financing in a row for some of the cleanup. One of the things that's interesting, though, is in that 99-room hotel, 26, two of the stories are going to house 26 apartments. I believe, if I remember correctly, it's four two-bedrooms, and the remaining 22 would be one-bedrooms. And the reasoning for that is because a hotel of that size, 99 rooms, is just about right for the downtown. And with that extra space above, we know that demand is there, and the developer knows it too. And this is not uncommon now. You see these, shared use buildings where it's half hotel, half residential. And we're really excited that the hotel owner took that on and looked at the numbers and said, hey, this is going to help make our project not just feasible, but maybe even a little profitable if we go this route.
Well, not to be too blunt here, but a 99-room hotel, that's a lot of toilets and showers. And are there water and sewer upgrades that need to happen before a project like this one can move forward?
Yeah. So we're looking at, we've been looking at doing a TIF district in Rutland for a while, and we do think that the opportunity to upgrade the public infrastructure alongside this hotel goes hand in hand. We do have a way, you know, our Center Street, which is the same street that the Paramount is on, the same street that the hotel is on, where we've been looking since the 70s municipally to make that a more pedestrian friendly space. And we already have designs for water and wastewater under that street and upgrading those that we just completed in the last month. We just got our wastewater designs and stormwater designs, which is great. So now it's just getting the streetscape done. And if all of these things can culminate at the same time, you know, maybe the end of construction season of 2026, that would probably be best case scenario. I'm not sure how likely it is that we get there, you know, but the goal is to have the Paramount completing its phases, the hotel completing its phases, and the city completing its all in a very similar timeline.
And not to go too deep on acronyms here, but I feel like TIF district is something that people hear a lot in conversations about housing development and can be a bit complicated to understand. It stands for tax increment financing. And correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, but essentially it's a way for municipalities to finance infrastructure improvements like upgrading water and sewer, which can then enable private development, which then increase tax revenue, and then that revenue is used to pay off the infrastructure improvements instead of it going straight into the municipality's general fund. Did I get that right?
You did, and it is without putting the burden of those that debt on the general taxpayer, because it's the increment that's created. So no one's taxes will go up to pay for that project, you know, throughout the city. It'll be the increment created from the new value that covers the cost.
Well, before we get too deep into TIF districts, let's go back to the phones. We have Beth in Rutland City on the line. Beth, go ahead.
Oh, hello, Your Honor.
Hello. How are you, Beth?
I'm good. I was just curious. I have a question and a comment, and I was wondering, the Linda Lee Dress Factory, is that going to be rehabbed, or is it going to be torn down and then built back up?
Mayor.
Yeah, so what Beth is referencing is we have an old dress factory in town, and part of it is actually falling down, and we have currently put some methods in place to keep people safe in that area. So the building is made mostly of asbestos tiles and asbestos roofing and other asbestos pieces. So the building itself is going to have to come down. It can't be redeveloped in its current state. It's a beautiful, Ed could probably tell me if I get the style wrong, Art Deco style building. And it's very cool looking, but there's, because of the asbestos contamination, if we redevelop that site, which is part of our plans, it would need to come down to be able to do that.
And Beth, I know you had another comment to add. We do have to wrap up this segment pretty soon. So we're gonna go back to Ed Bove briefly before we have to take a break. Because Ed, I want to hear about this special event next month in Rutland that you're helping to put together to market certain properties to mid-size developers. Is this like housing development speed dating?
That's exactly what it is. I think there actually is a part on the agenda we are calling speed dating.
There you go.
And the attendees will get a chance to learn about Rutland and then speed date, if you will, with the various players at the city or in the finance world, planning and zoning, some economic development, some realtors, to just get a sense of what we have to offer quickly, and also just to connect, just so that developers know that there's open and willing players in Rutland that want to see more development. So the thought is to have some informational pieces, meet and greet, and then tours of some of the specific sites in the city to see if we can get some interest, some ideas moving forward to some of the target properties that we're trying to highlight. One being, you know, I know the downtown hotel is moving along already, which is fantastic. But Linda Lee, which was just talked about, mm-hmm. is another site we will probably take a look at. Again, in talking about some of the incentives we have, I'm glad Mayor Mike brought up the TIF district, because that's a huge selling point we're going to have for some of these projects, because it is sewer, it is water, but it's also brownfields remediation. And so in Rutland, some of our sites, they need to be remediated, which is kind of the first block to hurdle. So if we're allowed or able to use TIF on some of these sites, that's a huge selling point for some of these projects, and something we're going to talk to the attendees of this event about.
And are these attendees, these developers, just from Vermont or around the broader region?
The broader region.
Well, that is unfortunately all the time we have with our two guests, though we are going to keep this conversation going about developing housing in Rutland County. That's what we're going to expand to in just a moment. But first, let's say goodbye to Ed Bove, the head of the Rutland Redevelopment Authority. Ed, thanks so much for your time.
Great. Thank you for having me.
We're also joined today by Rutland City Mayor Mike Dungis. Mayor Dungis, thank you.
Thank you for having me. Great conversation.
But of course, no town or city exists in a vacuum. Rutland City is just one part of a countywide and statewide effort to address the housing shortage. Joining us now to tell us more is Devin Neary. He's the executive director of the Rutland Regional Planning Commission. Devin, welcome.
Thank you, Michaela. It's great to be here. And as a big fan of the show, I'm excited to join and speak with you today.
Well, we're so glad to have you. First, tell us what the Rutland Regional Planning Commission does, and what are the other kind of big towns and areas included in your purview?
Absolutely. So we do a little bit of everything. We have 12 discrete program areas, but we're certainly not limited to those. And it's everything from transportation to town planning to energy, emergency management planning, clean water, and housing. So we are all over. You know, in the absence of county government in Vermont, RPCs are really that critical link between the municipalities and the state of Vermont. So that's our sweet spot and where we have really thrived. So housing is a relatively new area for us. Luckily, the legislature had provided some one-time funding for us to establish housing resource navigators. Unfortunately, that funding was limited, but we have dedicated additional funding to continue that effort. And as part of that, it's really understanding the data and the need. And that data is ever-changing, as you referenced earlier in the segment with the mayor and Ed Bove. And it proves a really huge opportunity for the Rutland region, which has seen stagnation and population growth, even slight declines, and with that, increasing tax burdens and costs for our residents. So we see this as an opportunity to not only decrease those costs and reverse our population trend, but really reimagine the entire region as this opportunity.
Mm. Yeah, I'm curious if there's anything, you know, you were listening to our previous discussion earlier in the hour with the mayor of Rutland City and Ed Bove of the Rutland Redevelopment Authority. What stuck out to you?
Yeah, really the demand. And where we dive in deep to the data, we see that the demand doesn't really reflect the reality of building and development. Ed and the mayor mentioned, you know, we have the oldest housing stock in the state and even the nation. And with that, we've also determined that we have the lowest ratio of housing development. So out of every one unit built in Rutland County, we need 11 units. So that deficit is considerable, and it's across the entire region. Mm. Obviously, our role at the RPC is to really understand where those needs are and do the mapping and work to lay out where housing could go. And that is one of our charges within the new Act 2081, Act 250 reform, is updating our future land use maps to be much more comprehensive, consistent across the state and reflective of the priorities of the community. And ultimately, this analysis of present land uses and identification of areas for proposed growth and conversely for conservation. So I think the need was striking for me because it really is quite opposite to what we saw for decades with population stagnation. We sort of saw this coming ahead of time and contracted with the Vermont Housing Finance Agency to do our own regional housing needs assessment last year. And it was pretty surprising. You know, if we were at pre-pandemic levels, you know, we'd actually be losing population and the housing need would be in the hundreds. However, this post-COVID population level, it could be as many as 9,000 units needed in Rutland County by 2040. And that's a difficult number to achieve when we're only seeing about 50 new units annually put on the market. Yeah. So I think understanding what the need is and then working with the region to develop the vision is what we're really interested in doing.
Yeah, that's staggering. Well, all right, it's time. Let's talk Act 250. Vermont's legislature passed a number of major reforms earlier this year to Act 250, which, if you're not familiar, is Vermont's land use and zoning law. And one of the big changes is the establishment of this tiered system of development. So certain areas called Tier 1 are going to be entirely exempt from Act 250 review, which should make development quicker and cheaper. What is the role of regional planning commissions like the Rutland Planning Commission in determining these tiers?
Absolutely. So there's three critical areas within Act 281 that all interconnect. So the first is the tiered Act 250 system, which you described well. There's four tiers, Tier 1A being the least restrictive and Tier 3 being the most. Those are our critical natural resources. It also updates the state designation program. Those are our villages and downtown centers, and it consolidates those in only two designations, villages, downtowns, with an optional add-on like a neighborhood development area. And then finally, where we intersect is a requirement to update our future land use maps to be consistent statewide and also map those downtowns, village areas, and what we're calling planned growth areas. And really, those are going to define and speak directly to the Act 250 tiered systems. So as a region, which works out perfectly for us in Rutland because we are updating our regional plan already. We have a hopeful adoption date of mid-2026. So with that plan update, we're going to be updating our regional future land use map as well. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge opportunity to redefine our villages and also really do that with equity and flood resiliency in mind, because part of this law is not developing in our river corridors, in our flood hazard areas, to protect that future development.
When a listener hears you say redefine our villages and they get very nervous about too much change too quickly, what do you say to kind of help explain what you all are working on in that need?
Absolutely. I think it's a framing of the issue or the opportunity to be more of an opportunity than an issue to say, hey, you know, it's similar to zoning. I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there that zoning is restrictive and about what you can't do. But we like to think about it as what you can do and removing some of the barriers and some of the misinformation around, you know, what land use regulations look like. So, you know, we have a future land use now map now, and I do not expect it to change substantively too much. I think anyone in the region could tell you now, without even looking at a map, where those areas for planned growth should be and shouldn't be. And that was one thing that we're sort of really interested in understanding more through our regional plan update efforts. You know, one thing that we're really keen on with this update is much more comprehensive and intentional public engagement. And we've done it from the onset. We had a early phase public engagement that we called Learn and Assess that ran for several months this spring. And ultimately is one goal, to understand the vision of the region, not Devin Neary, the executive director, not even just the RPC Board of Commissioners, but all 60 plus thousand people, to make sure that we're starting from the right spot and that it is really reflective of those priorities. So
are those forums, town meetings? What does Learn and Assess look like?
Well, that was a huge effort. It was 27 town presentations. It was 25 pop-up events. It was 5 community open houses. And it was a large public survey that gathered nearly 1,500 responses. So we felt like we had a pretty good finger on the pulse from that. And we will continue that effort now with our second phase, which we're calling Report Back, that actually starts today, which is great. But ultimately, that will help inform those changes to the future land use map. And we want to do it in a way that is supported by all 27 towns in the region, because, you know, Rutland City and Mount Tabor have a lot of different needs at the end of the day. So we want to make sure those are reflected. Mm.
Devin Neary is the executive director of the Rutland Regional Planning Commission. Devin, sounds like you have a lot of work ahead of you before mid-2026 when this new regional plan is set to come out. We're excited to learn more about it as that date gets closer. Devin, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Michaela. Appreciate it.